Hey, hello everybody, and welcome back to the Coach Treggs and Coach Bex podcast. This is fitness, fun, and fulfillment. I'm Coach Treggs, and I'm joined by the lovely.
Coach Bex.
How are you today, kiddo? On November the 20th at 10 past 12 of an afternoon.
I'm feeling fine. I'm feeling really good. All the good energy after our dip in the how many degrees? 3 degrees.
3 degrees in the Vale of Glamorgan today. Water temp was about 8 or 9, but it felt colder. It felt really bitey today.
Yeah, it was good. It's my first time in about 2 months going in the sea. So I was a bit scared, but it was good. And I played it cautious because I didn't want
You come fully dressed for the occasion, didn't you?
to. I
Yeah, woolly hat, shades, lip gloss, gloves. Really cool robe. I
the part.
think you did about 6 mins at about end.
Yeah, I could have done more, but I wasn't sure how it was going to go. So I think it was good to play it cautious. But next time, I'm back in the game.
Defo, defo. So first off, ladies and gents, we want to thank everyone who gave us some great feedback on the first episode. Like I said, I used to do a podcast many years ago, and then my kids were like born and young, and it was just tough. And so I did about 50 episodes and then sort of parked it. And Becky, when we were chatting earlier this year, something that she's always wanted to do. So we just decided to make it happen. And here we are, we're on Spotify. We had a good couple of hundred downloads on the last one, which is great because it's just organic. There's a little bit of software I'm using which allows us to see exactly where we're getting downloads. I think we had downloads in Canada and Jamaica
And Sweden.
and Sweden. So shout out to all that crew. Yeah,
Yeah.
shout out to and everyone else listening. We really appreciate it. And again, we just want this to, yeah, we want it to have a fitness element, but we also want it to be about fun, and we want it to be about fulfillment. So what we're actually going to talk about today is we're going to go a little bit deeper into our own battles with health, with fitness, with nutrition, and the kind of stuff that we've undergone. I know I've got quite a massive journey. Becky has as well, because a lot of people, they say when they like see our stories, are like, "Oh, you guys are really relatable." Obviously, we've had a few breaks since we've met, just a few. We've had a few drinks and some food, and people are like, "Oh, it's really refreshing to see like PTs just openly having a drink, eating higher calorie food, but then, still staying fit and healthy." What do you think to that?
Yeah, it's all about balance, isn't it? And that's one of the things when I met you that we really clicked on. It's like, okay, we go both ways. We both go both ways. We know how to party, but also we like to rein it in when we don't go, we have fun, but then we know when
We
to
don't go overboard. I mean, I could
I
release videos of you dancing in Barcelona in the
Well,
Airbnb.
I'm not as handy with my camera as you. I need to get on it because I could have had a few,
Well,
you know.
you got me ice skating, which was charming.
Yeah, that was getting my own back.
So, who wants to start? Do you want to talk first, or yeah, come on, Bex. You talk about your own sort of journey with your struggles, because I remember like when we met you, I think you said to me on the drive to Bristol, you went, "I decided," I don't know what year it was, it was only a couple of years ago, "I'm gonna get in the best shape of my life." So what was happening
Okay.
before then? Do you want to talk a little bit
Oh
more
my
about that?
God. Well, I think I sort of said in passing earlier, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, and I don't quite know. I could go on for hours, like all the different twists and turns. I think probably, when I was a kid, I was quite good at most things. Like in terms of sort of physical activity, I was quite okay at gymnastics, and I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed playing netball and things like that. And then there was this moment where I remember I didn't get into the netball team, and that day I had period pains and I was absolutely mortified. I must have been about 11, and it was like a real dent to me. I took it so personally, and from I kind of had this like, oh, it was just such a it just sort of reframed me, like, oh, you're not sporty, you're not. And it had a real impact on me, that sort of that reject, I guess it was rejection. And I so from that point, and I think it's really important to say that I can now recognize that I had a very fixed mindset, in that I took that so personally. I was like, oh, that means I'm not good. I made it mean something about me. I made it mean that I was not sporty. I made it mean that I was not good at team sports. I did carry on with gymnastics because that was just something that I kind of can't not do still at the age of 48. But it definitely has an impact on me. And I didn't recognize at that point that, oh, you had a really bad day. You had a real off day. You go back and you try again. And I didn't know about that sort of fixed mindset and growth mindset
Sure, you
at
don't when you're
that.
that young.
No, I didn't. I didn't. And I think I had a very, very fixed mindset. So from that point on, I had a little bit of an identity. I'm not sporty. And then when I started hanging out with the cool kids who were smoking, I didn't have that kind of sporting identity where, like, oh, that's bad for my health. I just thought, I want to hang out with them. I want to be cool like them.
Oh.
So and that was a little bit of, and then that became more my identity. I'm a little bit of a rebel, or I hang out with the naughty kids or the cool kids. And then that, I think that probably carried on, and I sort of almost rejected that sort of sporty side of me, and that physical, the looking after your body. And come, I went through puberty. Gymnastics just got way too embarrassing wearing a leotard, so I ditched that as well.
Sure.
And then just carried on sort of living quite a party life, I guess. I say party life, I wasn't, but just like drinking. I smoked cigarettes, and that sort of carried on until my late 20s, when I felt absolutely miserable. I felt really, I wasn't, I was out of shape. Not huge, I wasn't like hugely overweight, but I was out of shape, had no energy. I couldn't get up a flight of stairs without sort of hyperventilating. And then I sort of accidentally, through my flatmate at the time, discovered kickboxing. And I just got such a high from it. I kind
Love.
of I re I remembered that those endorphins. I was like, oh, this is good, isn't
Like, whoa, you
it?
found something. Like,
Yeah. And
yeah.
it was just it was so I had quite a stressful job, helped me manage my stress, and I was like, this is great. I feel really good. And on the way back from kickboxing classes, I quite often stop off at the pub for a pint and a cigarette. And I carried on for a while, but that was the beginning of me falling back in love with fitness and kind of going, oh wow,
Wow,
this
yeah.
has got this has such a massive impact on my well-being, just like feeling, getting out of my head and into my body. Because I think up until that point, I hadn't really been aware of how miserable I was. I was sort of just going through the motions, really. And and that's the thing that I try to talk to people about, is so important, that coming out of your head into your body, feeling present in your body, is just so powerful.
Can I just jump in there? Because I think that's really interesting. It's like we know now as fitness enthusiasts and like PTs, like the feeling exercise gives us. But I think a lot of people don't realize that. And you'd probably had that for quite a long period. Obviously, you did it when you were younger, gymnastics, but you're probably not doing it for mental health there. You're doing it because it's at school. Then you've gone to this kickboxing and you're like, holy crap. Endorphins, like what's this? Oh, I can do this, and I can deal with stress better. It's amazing, right? And I think that's really interesting because, like you said, you essentially wrote off a large period of your life, like a lot of us do in our 20s. We're going out partying, we're like putting exercise to the side, and then all of a sudden you've done that, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah, I know, it was massive. And Yeah, it changed my life, and from that point, I joined a gym and
There we go.
I started bringing in some strength training, and I started running. I was a runner.
Oh,
Well,
yeah.
I wasn't a runner, but I would run. And the reason I ran, actually, interestingly, is because I thought that's what you had to do to be fit. And I do less of that these days, but I enjoyed it as well. I did get to the point where I enjoyed it.
So that essentially, maybe that just go into that kickboxing was the kind of catalyst which maybe eventually led you into becoming a PT.
Oh, absolutely, because it was probably about 2 or 3 years later. So I actually got quite good at kickboxing. And then I think I moved away from where I was training, and it sort of came to an end there. But I carried on like weight training. I carried on going to the gym and doing. I just started really, really, really enjoying just the feeling that moving my body gave me.
So when was it again? I know we did the PT courses at the same time, but what was that moment then where you just like, because I'll talk about my moment where I had that like, I'm gonna do this. Like
Yeah.
what was that moment for
I
you?
think it was I was at the gym, and I think I was doing a class, and I had a little bit of a I kind of looked at the woman who was taking the class, and she was so full of life, she was so full of joy,
Boom.
looked amazing, and I was like, I want to be like her. And I did. I want a piece of that. I was like, wouldn't it be amazing if I could spend my days doing this instead of sitting at a desk? I now realize that I was not designed to sit at a desk, which is what I was spending my days doing. And I thought, wow, that would be amazing. And there was also an element of when I'm doing that for a living, I'll be happy then. So there was a little bit of I'll be happy when I, change my career and become this person who, obviously, I now know it doesn't quite work like that. But actually, that was the moment, the start of my journey, where I was just like, I want a piece of that, and that would be incredible if I could just spend my days doing something that I really love.
I've got a similar story to that, which I'll talk about in a second. But so when you like I know we covered a little bit of this on the first episode, but when you qualified, you got pregnant, right?
I found out I was pregnant the week that I got my qualification.
So when did you actually start basically like coaching for a living? When did that actually
For a
happen?
living, oh, right, okay, so I did it part time to start with because I was I went on my so I w while I was pregnant, I thought, right, okay, I'm gonna pivot slightly, and I'm gonna start training pregnant women
Nice.
postnatal. So I did my pre and postnatal qualification while I was pregnant, and me and my friend who was also pregnant, we turned up at our assessment with these massive bumps.
Real bumps. Yeah,
Real
yeah.
bumps.
Yeah, you didn't have to put the pillow up your top like they do when I did it, yeah.
And the examiner was like, "Well, this is very
Yeah.
realistic." And it was quite funny. And then I started doing buggy fit classes when Freya was born in the November, and I started doing buggy fit classes in the January. Looking back, I think I must have been a little bit mental doing that,
Yeah.
but I decided that that's what I wanted to
You're doing
do.
that in London.
Yeah, South London.
So did you start PTing up there, or was that when you got back to Cardiff?
I was doing a little bit of part-time PTing, but mostly, but I had to, for financial reasons, I
Sure.
had to keep my job because I wasn't in a position, obviously, with like a little one. My partner at the time had got made redundant, so there was all sorts of things going on. So I couldn't make the switch to completely. I looked into it, and I was earning a really good wage. I wasn't happy, but I was earning good money, and yeah, it was sort of that.
You're stuck because you're, yeah.
I felt really stuck for a while. But when I moved back to Cardiff, that's when I really kind of went all in.
So, why did you guys move back to Cardiff again?
We got to the point where we weren't enjoying any of the good bits of London. We were just
Right.
experiencing all the annoying bits. You know, when you've got two small kids, you haven't got as much money,
Yeah.
and the childcare and everything like that. So yeah, so I wanted to be closer to my family. I'm from Cardiff, and I wanted to come home.
And so when you got back to Cardiff, when was it then that you started coaching out of the Yekadar gym?
Properly when Jacob started reception. Yeah, so probably he was four.
So about eight, well, 9 years ago.
Yeah. No, it was longer than that. It was more like it was over 10 years ago. Yeah, over 10 years ago I joined
So
Yekata.
tell us about that journey for you as a mum, like as a PT, but the kind of struggles, because we both openly talked about it, didn't we? Like we've had times like when, like I'll come on to my story, but when my kids were young, I gained 2 stone and I was showing my business was growing and I was like fat and I was like
Yeah.
shit, but I was struggling. I was struggling. So do you want to talk?
Embarrassing, isn't
Yeah. And
it?
you have that massive imposter syndrome and
That's
yeah.
the
So do
thing,
you want to
yeah.
talk about
So
that?
I had huge imposter syndrome. And what I was saying, you know, that I'll be happy when I've got that qualification. Obviously, you've got to do the work to be happy. So it's not the qualification doesn't just instantly give you that happiness. You've still got to do the work. I had huge imposter syndrome because it was like a second career to me. I just had two kids. I showed you a picture of me around that time. And it, I, yeah, I, who am I to help people when I haven't got this sorted myself?
Yeah.
I had a huge amount of that. I was like, I haven't got this figured out myself. And I wanted to help other people. And I think that through helping other people, you can sometimes help yourself.
Yeah.
I think it does work that way to some point, but I certainly had the imposter syndrome of like, who am I to be giving people advice when I'm, yeah. And I was overeating. I was eating the wrong things. I was vegetarian at the time, interestingly. I made a decision not to eat meat for some reason. It just felt right at the time,
Sure.
and I wasn't exercising in a way that, yeah, that worked for what I was eating. Yeah, and I put on weight. I was sleep having sleepless nights. My hunger was out of control, and yeah, so no, it wasn't great. But then I did get back once I got back into strength training. Probably Jacob was probably about two. I've got pictures of him by the squat rack when he was in the buggy asleep, having a nap with a dummy in his mouth. So he's probably about one and a half, two. That's when I got back into strength training, and I actually absolutely nothing against not eating meat, but I started eating meat again.
Sure.
I realized like my body needed
You
that.
need the protein, yeah.
I wasn't getting enough protein. So I started eating differently. I started training differently, building muscle, and yeah, that was sort of the start of me getting back into shape. And like I said, there's been lots of twists and turns. There's been, you know, a few years ago, I realized I was putting on weight,
Yeah.
and that's when I said I made that
What
decision.
was that? Just up, was it during lockdown or when was it? Because you went, I remember you telling me you like, I decided, right, that's it. I'm going to get into the shape of my life. That's quite a big decision.
Yeah.
Because, you know, some people kind of like dip their toe in the water, they're happy with maintenance, but like you are in incredible shape. And you showed me pictures from before where you were like, not so lean.
Yeah.
Right. And like, so what was it that, because you were obviously a PT, you were getting back into strength training. What was that you went, right, bang, I'm going all in.
So over lockdown, I was pretty ripped actually, because I was training a lot. I hired a couple of coaches
Yeah.
over lockdown, because I was like, right, I've got to yeah, I was a single mum. I had to kind of put my focus into something positive. Because I was also drinking quite a lot of wine.
Weren't we all? That
Yeah.
first lockdown. Yeah. That April vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like summer, wasn't it? We were all alcoholic. Sorry, go
Yeah.
on.
So and then I think that decision came a couple of years ago when I've been drinking more wine and I've not been training as much. I had been running a membership, which was like live workouts, but it stopped working for me and the kids. So I stopped doing that. So I wasn't moving as much. I wasn't training as much. I was quite, str there was quite a lot going on with teenage kids, quite a lot of stress.
Sure.
So I think I was, just cracking open a bottle of wine, just finding my, and it had an impact on my body. And I'm 48 now, so probably about 40. So, and I realized my body was just sort of like started responding to that extra wine, and I didn't like how I was looking. It wasn't hugely out of shape, but I was just like, I want to be the best expression of myself,
Love it.
and I want my body to be an external expression of my inner values. I want my body to look like how I feel and everything I believe in.
And so how long did it take you to get to where you wanted to be? How long was that process? Obviously, you already knew what to do. It was just a case of, it wasn't like you were starting out from scratch, right? You just had to tighten it up.
I just had, yeah, I had to tighten it up, and it started. So rewinds a little bit just before that decision. Or maybe it was around the same time actually. I did 75 hard,
Oof.
which is
Yeah,
the in
explain quickly to the
okay.
listeners what that is.
So it's a bit of a viral internet challenge where for 75 days you have no alcohol. You do 2 45-minute workouts per day. You drink a gallon of water. You read 10 pages of a book, and you follow a meal plan. I
Or a
think,
diet with no cheats.
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and you take a progress photo. That's the other thing. So all those things on their own, not so bad. Together for 75 days, it was quite a lot. And would I recommend it to other people? Probably not.
No.
But for me, I gained a huge amount from that discipline. So it's not deemed as a weight loss challenge. It's like a mental toughness challenge. And at the time, I felt I needed the mental toughness. I was experiencing some challenges around parenting, some challenges around various things. I felt quite alone. It was an odd time. It was sort of post-lockdown where it felt like there was quite a lot of division. There was like that cost of living crisis. It was just felt a miserable time, and I was like, do you know what? I
Something.
need some mental toughness here. Like if I'm gonna thrive, so that's kind of where I approached it from. And yeah, it gave me a lot of consistency. The foundations that we teach our clients around drinking water every day, around walking every day. So one of my workouts,
Was a
was a
walk.
walk, yeah, and I did it in a moderate way. Some people go mental. I did it in a moderate way, but I wouldn't advise drinking a gallon of water. That was too much for me. That was the worst, actually the worst bit. 2 liters of water is right for me for my size. But I did do it. I say I did do it. I failed on the taking a photo. So I actually forgot to take a photo one day. So technically I failed, but I carried on because I was just like, you know what? I'm gonna see this through because it means a lot to me it meant a lot to me to kind of double down and prove to myself that I did have the discipline. So I'd gone from someone who I thought, while I'm a PT, I thought, oh, you're not really very disciplined. You're a bit on it or off it. And it was really good for me to just get that consistency for those 75 days.
And that was it. That's what ultimately did it. And then you just stuck ever since.
It was around that time, and then I did lose a little bit of weight doing 75 hard, and then I started tracking what I was eating. I realized I wasn't eating enough protein. I upped my protein massively, and I upped my strength training as well. So I think those were the main things that I changed
And you
going.
became a ninja at calisthenics. How do I keep
Calisthenics.
calisthenics? Yeah,
Yeah.
can't
Well,
do it, and I can't pronounce it. So,
I've been doing that for a few,
yeah.
for quite a few years. So I started that when I was about 41. And I started practicing in secret. So it all goes back to my gymnastics, where I get so many endorphins from just like going upside down and like throwing my body. And that, I think it's a little bit of an ADHD thing, that there's a little bit of danger. What's going to happen
Love it.
if I do this? So that it does give me my fix. And I started practicing in secret when I was when I started working at Yekke Dar. When the gym was closed, I would just be swinging on the rings, swinging from the bars.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So now, obviously, at 48, you're in amazing shape. You strength train regularly, you hit your steps, blah, blah, blah. How do you, you said, it's like, I think I mentioned before, an old mentor said to me, your external world is a representation of your internal world. So when you feel shit internally because you're not looking after yourself, the world is going on around you, but you might see it in a more negative sense, right? Because you're
Yeah.
pissed off at yourself, you're angry. Oh, I can totally agree with that. But how has it made a difference to you, becoming now the best version of yourself at 48?
Oh, I've definitely done the work in kind of self-acceptance. I think the fitness, the kind of the Oh, how do I say this? So being a little bit more, I've built a lot of self-respect, a lot of self-esteem through my actions, through
Boom.
becoming the person that I wanted to be. And this is what I try to drum into people all the time. It's about who you have to become to get what you
Love it.
want. So I've had to, to get that end result, I want to get in the best shape of my life. Who do I have to become to,
Yeah.
right? I have to be the person that is consistent. I have to be the person that has got a plan. I have to be the person that manages the stress. I have to be the person that doesn't get floored by life every time something comes up. I have to be the person that doesn't just seek solace in a bottle of wine. I have to be the person that is so solid in myself that I just know myself, and I know that, yeah, and that, and fitness and kind of nutrition and looking after myself, it's that's it. That's what
Those are
it's
your
all about.
values.
Yeah.
And I what's really interesting there is, you spoke about doing the inner work. We talk about this a lot. And you said, obviously, when you decided, well, that's just who I am as a kid with your gymnastics. I'm not that person. I'm this,
Yeah.
I'm that. But then as you got older and you started to do the work, we'll talk about the work, the inner work, right? Some people say that's spiritual and all that, but that flips the mindset because essentially we're not taught how to really think. And at that age is what, Bob Proctor used to talk about, was you form a paradigm. So people tell you not good enough, or you tell yourself
Yes.
not good. You form a paradigm. I'm not a gymnast. I'm not this, I'm that. And I know a lot of my struggles were way before I started to do the inner work. And when we talk about inner work, people might think, oh, that's woo woo. But I can tell you this now, in 18 years of coaching clients and all the, my life spending my time in my body, I know that the best results I've gotten is when I do the inner work. So that's the personal development, the reading books, listening to audio, trying to tap into a different way of thinking.
Yeah.
Because it is so mad. I literally have had conversations with clients, and let's say I know we're going slightly off topic here, but say somebody's coming to my inner circle, they've got a great result, right? And they've done 6 weeks phase, and they're talking about carrying on, and we discuss the price, and they go, yeah, I'm not sure I can afford that monthly. I'll have to talk it over with the wife. And then just later on in conversation, there was one guy I was working with, a taxi driver, and he was like, oh, you know what? The biggest thing for me is I'm no longer eating a six multi-pack of crisps in the car, these mini chocolate bars, and a liter of Coke. And I was like, well, how often were you doing that? He said, oh, I was doing it every day. It's probably why I got fat. And I was like, well, how many days a week are you taxiing? He's like, six. And I'm like, well, what was that costing you a day? And then he worked it out, and I said, you know, that's like almost 2.5 times what my inner circle cost. And the light bulb moment he had, and that wasn't me using like neuro-linguistic program with him and all that. I genuinely saw it because he didn't think like that. It's having a different way of thinking, right? And actually going, why, asking those questions. And I know for myself, it was like when I started to do the personal development, that really helped, because I used to tell myself, oh, you just, that's not you. You can't do it. Blah, 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 blah.
That fixed, coming back to that fixed mindset,
Why?
that's who,
Why? And unfortunately, you know, environmental conditioning, your parents, what people have told you as a kid, it forms a paradigm. You know, some of my most competitive clients, I'll say, so where does that come from? Oh, my mum and dad told me I wouldn't be anything, you know, I was not going to be good at sport. You're like, wow, that's forming a paradigm. But a little bit on my story, I think, Becky, you've stole the show there, so I'm going to keep mine short and sweet. And I wanted you to talk
Thank
more
you.
today. I wanted you to, and it's really interesting listening, and I've learned some new stuff there. But just like you in school, right? I was like a bit chubby in school. I was always last at sports day in primary school over the 100 meters until we went to secondary school, and the PE teacher said, "We're doing cross country today, lads." I said, "What's that?" He said, "It's a 3 mile run around the local area and up the hill and all that." I thought, "Oh, here we go." And so all the kids went sprinting out of the school gates, and within a minute, and I'm at the back thinking, chubby old Craig's going to be last again. And they're all blowing after a minute. And I was like, okay, let me carry on jogging. Let me carry on jogging. Next thing you know, I'm in first place. Never won anything in my life. Came home first. I was like, oh, I'm a bit
Brilliant.
chubby. I'm not fast, but I've got an engine. And then basically, that was massive for me. I got into cross country. I joined the local athletics club, started to do 1500 meters. And I became really good, like long distance runner. Like my dad would take me all over the place doing cross country runs or doing mountain biking as well. My mum would take me everywhere. And that was great for me, right? That was great for me between the ages of like 11 and maybe 16. I was like lean as a butcher's dog. But then obviously you get to 16, 17, you start having, you know, Diamond White, Special Brew. And then I went to uni and I was basically like, you know, you're having takeaways all the time. And I basically use running as a vehicle for fat loss. I was wearing a bin liner, you know, under my top. I'd spend
Oh,
more money
wow.
on bin liners to sweat than I would to put the rubbish out, you know, and because I thought it was going to help me lose weight. And basically, what happened in a nutshell was I had probably a 8 to 9 year period of just being this frustrated, overweight runner. I'd use weight loss pills, you know, and I'd have periods of time where I'd go really heavy. And then 5 weeks before a holiday, I'd use like extreme, like diet pills, just run every day in a bin liner, lose like 2 stone fast. But like have insomnia and all that, go on holiday, put it all
Right.
back on. And that's what essentially led me into the industry, because I was a frustrated, injured, overweight, long distance runner. And I wanted to learn how to fix myself, and then fix others. But then even going into the industry, right? You know, you talk the bloody food pyramid, 6 portions of carbohydrates a day.
Oh,
I
I
was Some
know.
of my first clients were getting fatter, right? And so you've almost got to unlearn everything.
Absolutely.
And honestly, the first couple of years in the industry is all about this clean eating, right? All about clean eating, clean eating, clean eating. And I was based in a CrossFit gym. I was doing clean eating slash paleo. I was like 12 stone four, dripping wet. But like every 3 weeks, I'd go down my nan's and have an epic binge, just call it a cheat day. You know, we're talking like 6 or 7 bags of crisps, loads of chocolate, couple of beers, some cheese. I just got to call it a cheat day. And guess what? I got away with it. Right, until I met the boy's mum and settled down, had a family. And
Real
then,
life,
yeah, I was growing 30 plus. I was getting astronomical growth, but I also had a bigger house, bigger outgoings, 2 young kids quickly, right? No sleep. And I'm growing this business promoting clean eating, and I'm fucking failing on a
Oh,
Tuesday
wow,
clean eating, and then I'm binging, right? And it got to the stage where I knew I had a problem. And I just thought, I just can't, I'm a failed clean eater, I can't do this. And one of my clients calls it white knuckle dieting, because everything's restricted.
this now.
About 2014, 15 was at its worst, right?
Right, okay.
And so one of my clients calls it white knuckle dieting, where like you basically everything's so restricted, you're just holding on for dear life, asking when it ends, right? And so I would barely make it through the week. I just train with all my clients and say, oh, I'm a PT, I can get through it. And then what happens on the weekend, I almost couldn't escape. The kids were young, I couldn't get in the gym, and I just binge. And I remember what a big thing was for me was when John got to about 2.5, 3, one day The boy's mum said to me, he's just copied you. He's had a packet of crisps and he's gone back into the cupboard and he's now taking multiple packets of crisps. She said, he's copying you and you need to sort it. And I was like, wow, that hit me like a ton of bricks, right?
Right.
And I remember somebody, close to me had had issues with overeating and blah, blah, blah. And they said that CBT therapy had helped. And I was just like, that was just like white noise. But I was like, I need help here, right? So I looked for a therapist and I remember finding him and he dealt with food addiction, alcohol addiction, sex, drug, any addiction, right? And I was like, I used to wake up, nah, I don't need this guy, I'm Tregs, blah, blah, blah. And anyway, I think one Sunday morning I woke up after having like maybe 7 or 8 beers the night before. It was always 8 bags of crisps, standard, right? This is why it's such a revelation. I can have a bag of Discos and go about my life. What a revelation, right? And so I remember finding this guy. And anyway, I went to see him. He's like, right, what's your issue? I was like, I'm a PT. I've got a growing business. I've got a growing business and I'm out of control of my food. And I remember him like listening and talking to me. And he said, right, I want you to go away this week and no food's off limits. And I went, what? Yeah, no food's off limits. You can have a few biscuits. You can have a packet. Oh, what? What do you mean? He said, well, why is one packet of crisps going to harm you? He's like, well, it's unclean. Then I'll eat. Why? Why? You'd ask me those questions. Now, around this time, about 2015, 2016, it was when MyFitnessPal was emerging and it was like flexible dieting, which we're big fans of, right? And the Fitbits were coming out and tracking calories in and out. And you'd have all these fitness pros going, oh, you can eat pizza and lose weight. You can get this and lose weight. And I'm like this failed clean eater going, nah, no fucking way, right? But I'm having this counseling once a week and he's giving me different perspectives on why can't you just have a little bit? The dangers, the dosage, blah, blah,
It's
blah,
that extreme.
right? And but that was all I knew. But so I'm starting to look at this. I bought a Fitbit, I downloaded my Fitness Pal, but I remember like there was two things. I stayed with him for 8 months. After 6 months, he said, I think you've got it. I said, I'm staying. I am learning so much here to pass on to my clients. I
Oh,
was able to
yeah.
go away to clients going, I think you might need therapy. I think because what we did, right, and it was amazing. I get so passionate talking about it. One day we were sat there, he said, I want you to track back through your life. Go all the way back. So I was like, what, 36 at the time? He goes, track back, track back. He said, I want you to tell me there's anything that happened. It was a little bit of unstable. I was like, yeah. That's why. He goes, just, he said, sometimes things can happen in life. It might be trauma, it might be abuse, physical, sexual, but it will just send us slightly off track. And anyway, during the conversation, we went back to just when I was 9 years old. I don't want to pity me because it wasn't bad at all. Like my mum will be listening to this. It wasn't bad. It was just something that happened. Was I live with my mum. I always saw my dad on the weekends, but I used to live opposite a playing field. I'd be out playing football with my mates every night till it was dark and she'd call me. And when I was 9 or 10, she'd met someone and we moved into a new house 5, 6 miles away. So if you know Gloucester, we moved from Tuffley to Robinswood, right? And what happened was I was 9 years old. I went from playing football with my mates every night to not being able to go out because this place was too far for me to ride my bike with main roads, to sitting in playing on my Atari. No brothers or sisters, so there was nobody to share food with. Quite often my mum would get home from work after me. I had unlimited access to the cupboards and I started to eat.
Right, and that
So
was your
it was,
comfort.
yeah, it was a bit of comfort to, oh, I've moved away from my friends. So what he said was, is anytime you have some angst, you have some trouble in your life, or there's you're looking for a comfort, you're getting it in food. And then he would say things to me like, do you eat in secret? I was like, what do you mean? He said, have you ever been around the shop to buy food and then you'll get snacks and eat it in your car before you get them? I was like, holy crap, fam. He was like, have you ever hidden food? I was like, oh shit, I remember like when I was a kid and my mum would get fish and chips on a Friday, but I'd be having cheese and crackers before she got home and hiding them behind the sofa. And that was at like 9, 10, 11 years old. And it boom hit me like a light bulb. It was like, wow, I get it. I get why my weight goes up and down and how I react. And it was so liberating, right? And then I remember going, right, I'm making a joke out of all these people that are tracking their calories, right, and saying they can lose weight eating pizza. But let's be fair, when I've eaten a pizza in the past, I've had a whole Domino's, chicken Dunkers, and a garlic bread, right? So it's like, so I started to track my calories, and I almost wanted it to fail, Bex, right? Because I was like, I want to prove it wrong. And then I was like, right, I'm gonna have a pint of Guinness, 210 calories. Is that all? What? Because if I burn this, I'm gonna have a packet of Discos, 250. And I was like, fruit pastel lolly, 60 cals, might not be nutritious, right? But normally if I had one of them, I'd go on a fucking, get me 10 more and some cans and some biscuits. Let's go mental. Do you know what I mean? I've
Yeah, we're
fallen off the
going.
wagon now. Let's go big. Right? I've had a lick of a lollipop. Now we're going on a 17-day binge, right? But not quite, you know what I mean? But and I often say, I would fail on a Wednesday and I would just go big until the
Yeah, and that I think there's like a little bit of hangover from the clean eating, where because I remember not quite being as bad as that, as you explain, but that whole, oh, I failed,
Oh,
and that
dude.
I might as well now, I might as well eat all the biscuits in the cupboards, I might as well eat another pack of crisps. It's that, like, oh, I've messed up, so now I've failed, I might as well just, yeah.
Yeah, all bets are off,
And
and we'll go even stricter on Monday.
yeah, exactly. And I think I still see clients kind of with a little bit of that mentality. Oh, I failed. Oh, I ate the
Right.
biscuits.
Let me tell you a story, right, about feeling like a failure. I remember up until my sons were born, I was like really in good shape, running and doing all the things, kettlebells, loving life, right? And then when the kids come along, no sleep. And I remember coming down one night, I think I'd done the night shift, and I'd come down, I was knackered. I was like, right, gonna get jacked up on caffeine, go into the yard and do a load of burpees and swings. And I remember I did about 10 kettlebell swings, put the kettlebell down, went in the kitchen and stuffed a load of biscuits. I was like, fucked, right? And I remember feeling such a failure. If only I'd known then about tracking calories, about the importance of steps. I mean, don't get me wrong, we took the kids out and pushed them in the pram, but there was not like a massive incentive for steps. Like now I see people with young kids and I'm like, dude, your sleep's going to be shot. Go for a walk. So it's like so much like hindsight, right? And obviously, the more education, the more work you do on yourself, the more tools that you have at your disposable now with like a Garmin and MyFitnessPal, et cetera, allows us to manage that. But look, I'm very aware of the time here because we said we're going to do 45 minutes, but this is something we can definitely continue. I broke free from that. I didn't think I could be fixed. I still fight the good fight every day, right? Becky knows me, I'm a foodie, you're a foodie too. But what helps me manage that is I do the work, I do the self-development work, I think about it. I don't just react. I don't just react. So
It's
if
the
I'm stressed,
reaction, yeah.
I know that I could find comfort in alcohol, in sugar,
Same.
in staying indoors
Same.
scrolling. But actually, that's just quick fix dopamine, right? I can also go and change my state through going for a foamless walk, jumping in the sea, going for a
A
run,
healthy
taking some
dopamine
deep breaths,
fix,
right?
yeah.
And I think that, and again, I'm really mindful of the time here. I think that the bottom line is me and Becky are the best personal trainers in the world, right? And we can give you the best nutrition plan, the best training plan. But if you can't fix yourself, like it took 8 months of CBT therapy for me, 6 months hard, and then another 2 months learning more I could pass on to clients, right? To go, wow, that's why I'm doing that. Like, do I really need six packets of crisps back to back? I just thought that was the norm because it was what the behaviors came out of my move when I was a kid. So you've got to go inside and fix yourself and why am I behaving like this? These are the questions you need to ask yourself. Now, we were going to talk so much more, right, about why people sabotage and all that, but I think we can do a whole nother episode on this. Like, I'm really enjoying this. We could have done this for about 2 hours talking about this. But we do want to stick to 45 minutes, guys. We don't want to drag on. We don't want to lose you. And we really hope that you're getting something from this. And even if, again, it was just getting to know me and Bex more, because we're going to be firing out these podcasts every 2 weeks now in the new year. We're going to hire a studio. We're going to put it on YouTube. We're going to be everywhere. So, but we always like to finish with this in the last 5 minutes. In the last 7 days, apart from hanging out with me, what have you done for fun?
I seed it this morning.
Oi, oi.
That was great. That was really good fun. That was it was hard, but it was fun, really fun.
What has fulfilled you?
Okay, my son last night,
Go on, that was amazing.
flag bearer. So this again, they cross over fun and fulfillment. Yeah, he was flag bearer for Wales for Wales in the Wales game last night, and yeah, it was absolutely, he was
Pictures
buzzing.
look amazing.
Yeah, he was, yeah, he loved it, and he got a pat on the head from Brennan Johnson, and he was loving
He looks
that.
so happy on those pictures.
Yeah.
What have you done for fitness?
I've not done a lot of fitness this week, actually. I was going to train yesterday, but I had something going on with my back. And I didn't, so I just did a little bit of mobility. So mostly walking,
And
actually.
that is all right.
I don't train as much as people think I do.
Can ask me?
Yeah. What have you done for fun?
I spent the weekend with you. We had a great week. We like every other weekend we hang out, and for fun, we watched. I can't sit and watch Netflix or anything like that without scrolling my phone. But one of my clients, shout out to you, Ruth, said to me, "You
Such a
have to
good
watch Day of the
recommendation.
Jackal series on Sky Atlantic."
So
And
good.
we put it on Friday night, and it got to 10 o'clock, and we looked at each other and went, "Do another one." And so we stayed and watched that. We watched the rest on Saturday. We went ice skating.
That
And
was
then
fun.
on Sunday night, we got into another thing on Amazon Prime that we're watching called Croft.
Cross.
Oh, Cross, like
You
Cross,
can't
yeah.
remember that.
Detective Croft. I even called him Bosch or something like that. Right. So that was my fun. Fulfillment, just having my boys back. Like they're back with
Oh,
me this week. And
lush.
I think I've said to you before, I love it when everyone's in the house, the dogs are in, we got the heating on now. I might have the iron on. We got a bit of Sky Sports. Boys are buzzing
You love
around.
ironing, don't
I
you?
love ironing. Yeah. If
I
all
love
else fails,
that.
mate, I'm going to set up an ironing business, right? You know, just because it's actually, you know, if I do get too old and decrepit and tired, I can iron. Do you know what I mean? I could even do it sat down, couldn't I? You know, get a little ironing board for that height. And for fitness, what have we done for fitness? I actually made a bit of a decision in the last week that I'm knocking the running on the head for a short term, only because I'm really enjoying the gym. I'm enjoying our training sessions. You've got me
Brilliant.
doing all kinds of like glute drives to build my bum and all kinds of stuff. And I just find that I love running. I'll never turn my back on it. I'm an endurance runner by heart. But I'm finding that I get a little bit too beat up and hungry from my runs. And as much as I love being out in nature, I get my hit of endorphins at the minute from getting in the sea and walking. So I am doing more gym-based stuff. We're back. I've had a run of good kettlebell workouts on a Sunday. So that's what I'm doing.
Brilliant.
So this concludes. I love this today.
It's
Bex was saying before, I'm like, I'm really unprepared. I'm like, just let it flow, let it
been
flow, let it flow. So, guys, that was the second episode of the Treads and Bex podcast. Exciting. And this is going to be out tonight on November the 20th. Now, if you like it, give us a subscribe, give us a thumbs up on Spotify, share
Five
it.
stars, please.
Five stars, please. Now, also, before we leave, we do have to tell you next Friday is Black Friday, the biggest consumer spending day of the year. And I know I'll be doing a lot of my Christmas shopping on it. But like every year, I'll be making offers to my 30 plus men's fitness clients, my boot campers, my one-to-one clients, because I appreciate you. And, you know, if you're going to invest in lots of other stuff, less invest in your health and fitness too. As you know, myself and Bex have teamed up now. We have the online ladies coaching program. We're going to be making offers for a 6 week January plan, which starts on Monday, the 6th of January, 2025. You'll be able to sign up now with a discount with three bonuses. Becky is producing a mobility flow download, also a booty builder, which she's got me on, doing lots of hip thrusts, glute drives, and I'm going to be recording a Combat Your Christmas video just to show you how to navigate the busy Christmas period. And we're going to put that all out to you at a discount. Becky and I are also going to have individual offers on for one-to-one training in person or online, where you get to work closely with us on a personal level. So make sure you're friends with us on Facebook, make sure you follow us on Instagram, and you won't miss a thing. How's that?
It's good.
Excellent. Okay. Ciao for now, and we will see you very soon.